guarantee none. Don't start no fights if you cannot predict the outcome. Don't make donations where you cannot get your dough back.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got a year. Nice. The sugar runs by. I feel nice. The sugar runs by. So nice, so nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Thank you very much.
How you doing?
I'm proud to be here.
Proud as punch.
Pleased as punch.
Pleased as punch. That's what Hubert Humphrey always said. That.
That's what he said. That was one of the things that was notable about
I'm
that.
I'm pleased as punch to be here today.
I got to tell you something really sad about Hubert Horatio Humphrey. Well, it's not about him so much. It's about his reputation. So there was a biography of him that came out like last year, I think. And I thought, sure, I'll buy that. You know, I'll just see. You know, he was an important politician from the upper Midwest, you know. And it's still sitting there. I've never even opened the darn thing. It's like, yeah, whatever.
I liked him, but
whatever.
I'm not motivated to read a biography. No, he actually had a pretty interesting history. I think he was mayor of Minneapolis.
Yeah, he sure was.
And like in the 40s, he was pushing for like local civil rights actions and things like that. So
at the 48 convention, he famously wanted the tried to get the delegates to adopt a civil rights platform, and he was, you know, roundly criticized for that. And one thing that happened was when he finally got elected to the Senate is that the Senate Democrats were mostly the Southerners.
Sure.
And so they completely ostracized him. And this is what ended up happening is it shows you just how much this stuff is just personal and personalities, is that LBJ, being the clever operator that he was, said, I know what I'll do.
I'm
for it because I can get this guy to do whatever I want. And it paid off for him.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you know, Humphrey was a big cheerleader for the Vietnam War, and probably, as many people, you know, opine, probably cost him the election in 68 when he ran.
Yeah.
So, if he had famously, for you youngins, famously, Humphrey went along with the Johnson administration's Vietnam policy until it looked like he could probably win if he didn't.
And then 2 weeks before the election.
He said, oh, I've had a total, on the way to Damascus, you know, and had a total change of heart. And people were like, oh, good, you know, but it was just too late at that point. Because Nixon had his secret plan, so that
And that worked out.
That worked out tremendously well.
I'm just going to dick around until I get almost impeached, and then I'll quit.
You're a real Nixon. You
and then
know that.
Ford can deal with the helicopters with people hanging on them. LBJ, he just bullied Humphrey.
But that's why LBJ was a more interesting character. Like that, I have three volumes of that multi-volume biography by Robert Caro, and I mean, his audacity is amazing. You do like to read about people like that because you're thinking, man, he's getting it done, you know, even though he's truly is horrible in many ways. But I mean, it's just kind of like, I don't know, maybe that's what progressives need today. Progressives need somebody who's kind of an
pragmatic,
an effective a-hole.
Yeah, we got plenty of the first.
We got plenty of the first. Yeah, the non-effective ones.
I'm not sure how effective it is, but I do enjoy Gavin Newsom's trolling of Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, after the big speech the other day, Festivus the other day.
Yeah, he was. He was yelling the whole time.
I didn't know. I didn't watch. I can't stand to listen to him talk. But,
right.
Yeah, I heard he was kind of hopped up on goofballs or something.
Yeah, I think RFK Jr. slipped him something.
Have some raccoon brain. That'll get you going.
Who knows? Probably Don Jr. Hey, Dad, I got something for you.
Oh, yeah. Little goodies headache powder. But Newsom, you know, had his response to that. He just posted it.
I haven't seen that.
On, like, Blue Sky or something.
Okay.
And it was just about, you know, it was probably a couple hundred words, whatever the character limit on Blue Sky is. And it just said, me, 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 me. That was his analysis of it.
I gotta give Trump credit for something. I do. I really do. He's so utterly incompetent and self-centered that he's going to drag the whole party down to the depths of hell. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, where the rest of us have been for a while now. So, you know.
Well, it is. It's like this very strange 10-year-long game of the emperor has no clothes. Yeah. I mean, he's always been, you know, a liar and a creep and never had any policies to speak of. I mean, he never really stood for anything, just whatever he thought, you know, the sheep in the front row wanted to hear.
See, I think...
But it's been 10 years, and then every once in a while somebody goes, oh, he came and, you know, he dragged my cousin away because he had too deep of a tan or something.
Right.
And then it's like, whoa, I didn't expect that from him.
Right.
Like,
see, I think we need to quantify his awfulness, though. And I'm thinking this thing with the Kennedy Center, I really realize what's going on here. He sees himself as the Emperor Nero, right? Remember, Nero famously played the lyre while Rome burned?
Yeah.
I mean, because Nero would actually enter in contests when the Emperor Nero would enter into contests. Like Olympic contests for best poetry and stuff like that. Oh, every time. Big surprise. And he would always like, oh, me? Just like it's like Trump did when they renamed the Trumps, you know.
My prized pickles won again.
I note that my biggest rival last year is not here. I'm thinking we should probably, at least with that part of his reign, we should have a way of quantifying it. And I'm thinking so many neurons. So I'm thinking
it sounds like moron.
I'm thinking the whole thing with him taking over the Kennedy Center, that's 100 neurons right there. I mean, that's like, that's very close
well,
to being
slapping
Nero-esque.
Trying to slap his name on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the typical, I mean, it's a small example, but it's like, well, I'm just going to rename this after myself. And then there are all these people come out and say, well, you can't just do that.
Yeah.
That, you know, Congress has to pass
illegal,
a law.
Yeah,
and then it's like, well, we don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's like.
Everything's got a nickname now. The Gulf of America.
The Gulf of
Department of War. I mean, it's like, it's not, none of that is legal. It's just a nickname. It's kind of like. I was thinking about this. It's just like what he's been doing for most of his adult life. He takes in somebody else's property, somebody else's idea, and he just puts his name on it.
Slaps his name on
it. Yeah, that's all he's doing. So he's just rebranding everything.
Scams him out of money.
Yeah, he's rebranding everything, and then he's knocking stuff down and building stuff. Those are the two things he's been doing as long as he's been a public figure. So putting his name on stuff and knocking stuff down. So it's like, it's just, this is
and then just,
this is kind of like the quintessence of who he is.
Like a hummingbird kind of jumping from one thing to another.
Yeah,
it's like, oh,
yeah.
I've got casinos. Oh, well, they're gone now. I guess I'll sell steaks to the rubes.
He's back in the casino business. I don't know if you've been checking out the econ stats recently, but we're back in the casino business here in the U.S.
Well, he gave a speech about a week ago from a casino.
Yeah.
It's the one about the economy.
Yeah.
It's like, do not talk about the optics.
Yeah.
Do not give a speech about the economy from a casino.
Yeah.
Especially when you bankrupted several already.
Kids, this is what crypto really is. In case you want a nice comparison.
Oh, my goodness. So.
So I have to say that despite all the stuff that's going on, all the crazy stuff, a couple of things really cheered me up this week. And one was actually came from your home state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And that is that, you know, federal agents are up there right now on their little reign of terror trying to find everybody, as you said, that has like a little bit of a tan and sending them out of the country. And apparently when we talk about the Minnesota nice, it's all about who you're nice to, because apparently they're not nice to ICE up there. And there's actually groups are really coordinating their activities in the Twin Cities area, trying to help out folks and to keep the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents at bay as best as possible. So it's Department of Homeland Security has said that its agents have detained more than 670 people in Minnesota this month. But people there are pushing back on what they see as racial profiling. Basically, the Minnesotans have been rattled by a series of tense incidents involving immigration officials. And last week, federal agents took a 55-year-old citizen into custody for several hours because she had confronted them during a pre-dawn raid.
Yeah.
So people are getting it done up there. Second thing,
there was a time that some of the Minnesotans were throwing snowballs at the ICE people.
Yeah.
And ICE wanted to charge them, you know, charge them with.
Sure.
Attempted murder or something, kind of felony. You know, I mean,
thank goodness it wasn't a sandwich.
I was going to say, obviously, it's not as bad as throwing a Subway sandwich at somebody.
So this week also, this cheered me up immensely. Companion found that there is this, I had no idea, that the city of Madison has a fleet of snow plows. And of course, they've been brought into action. And you'd think that that was just the end of the story. We've got snow plows. But no. We have special snow plows. We have snow plows. Not only that, we have snow plow trading cards. If you go to any branch of the Madison Public Library, they're like little baseball cards. And they feature an image on one side of the various snowplows.
Are there stats on the back?
There are stats. They tell you what they do, and they're numbers so that you can identify them. So, for example, Seymour Pavement, that's one of the... His duty is to help with stump removal in the summer, but during the winter, Seymour is in charge of cul-de-sacs and dead ends in Southwest Madison.
I had that job.
Yeah. You worked with a cul-de-sac, as I recall. But if you want to know whether your Seymour's out there,
the dead end department where I ended up working.
If you want to know if you're driving by and you wonder if that's Seymour or not, Seymour's number is 7348. All of them have a number right on there.
So is he related to Seymour Butts, the famous author?
Down the Yellow River by I.P. Freely. another one we got here is Snow Ceratops. Snow Ceratops is a tundra. There's a little stat here. Tundra smashing truck can pre-treat roads by applying brine. And then there's a little thing that tells you what brine is. And Snow Ceratops is serial number 3948.
Okay.
We got Snow Diggity.
Where did you get these cards?
These were from the Madison Public Library.
Okay.
So you can just go right in there. And then we got Princess Leia.
Oh, that's a good one.
And on the back, they say that, let's see, what does Princess Leia do? Part of the squadron that plows city-owned parking lots and on-street paths, including bike flow lane on the university. Here's some interesting things about about Princess Leia. Grew up on the planet Snowed Upon. Damn it. And it's been underrated because Princess Leia is a senator, a general, and can use the force for pushing snow. Yet people only ever talk about Leia's brother, Flake Sidewalker, and that scruffy-looking Hans Snow Globe. Also got Anne Pathaway here.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's a good one.
Yep. Anne covers 6 miles of pedestrian paths, sidewalks, and parking lots on the Isthmus, including the Capital City Trail.
I didn't know they were so specified, or so...
Yeah. Yeah, they have very specific routes.
On
yeah,
what they do.
So Anne Pathaway is number 1722 and is an award winner. Won the coveted Flaky Award for the role of Shivereen in La Saison Miserable. I remember that aria she sung. It was really good. And this is the most Madison one of all, probably. Plower to the People. Plower to the People. It's you'll find this plow, number 3722. On the Near East Side, and just imagine, imagine no confusion. This is every time plows are sent out, the Streets Division publishes a snow plowing update to explain the response, and you can get these emailed to you from the city's winter website. So check it out. This Mike Snowplowski and Dolly Plowton, and it's just the whole... Dolly, by the way, I just want to mention Dolly, not surprisingly. Dolly Plowton is the city's first dual-wing plow.
Oh, that's good.
So to the people at the city engineering, just got to say, I really, really appreciate your work here.
Another local story. Recent projections for Dane County's population shows an quite a bit of accelerating growth over the next 25 years.
Yep. Like a giant tumor.
The regional data group estimates the county will have almost 900,000 residents in 25 years.
Wow.
Increase of about 60% from the 2020 census of 561,000.
Is that before or after the asteroid?
Well, it depends on where the asteroid hits.
That's true. That's true.
We may have a bunch of refugees from.
That'll explain it.
From Schaumburg or something.
Schaumburg.
I don't know.
It's funny you picked that because I knew some people from Schaumburg that moved here a few years ago.
Were they refugees?
Well, pretty if you've been to Schaumburg, it's one explanation.
Projections expect Madison's population to rise to 437,000 within the next 25 years. That's right in the city. But as I said, Dane County, close to 900,000.
Isn't it funny how people want to move to places that are nice? It's like they rant and rave. You know, I mean, I remember when the Walker administration was like, Madison, it's, you know, they're a bunch of crazy people. So, turned out it was the only thing that kept his economic plan from looking like totally dismal.
If you looked at all 72 counties, the only ones that were like positive were Dane and Milwaukee County.
Yeah. But that's the reason why they hate us.
Yeah.
Haters gotta hate.
All right. I know you're a big fan of David Brooks.
Jesus. America's sophist in chief.
he wrote last week in the New York Times. He said it was a column titled "The Epstein Story: Count Me Out," and the whole column was about how it wasn't a big deal and people were making too much of it. So then some pictures came out. You know, there were all these dumps they've been having lately. Not the one they have today, but there were pictures of him with Epstein in the picture. And the New York Times immediately, it's like they had this ready to go, immediately issued a statement saying that, David Brooks attends a lot of functions and he meets with a lot of sources. Right. And that has nothing to do. But I mean, if he writes a column a month ago saying this is not a big deal,
right.
This is,
look at that.
It's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
At the very least, he should have disclosed, in a little footnote or something that I was there.
Wow.
But nope, nothing to see here. Oh, that guy, he's the guy. And the most famous thing he's done in the last couple of years is when Biden was president, he posted a picture from the airport of a $78 bill for a hamburger and fries.
Yeah.
And he was complaining about, inflation.
That.
But then what he forgot to do was crop out the triple scotch in the picture. And then somebody actually got a hold of the bill.
Yeah.
And the $78 bill, like $50 of it was the scotch.
Yeah. It was good scotch. He forgot about it.
Yeah. It was really good. I was drunk. Come on. But I mean, how disingenuous.
No.
This hamburger cost $78. And,
I'm so tired of those guys. And, this is a tired trope itself. But the false equivalencies, it's like, okay, these people over here did something that's mildly annoying. And these people are destroying life as we know it.
Yeah.
So they're both bad. That's his stock and trade.
Sure.
And the contortions he goes through. And the thing about it is, I appreciate people who have a shtick, who have a, something that they know, but I appreciate people with expertise more.
Yeah.
So, I love reading Jamelle Bouie. I mean, his articles are, he's a commentator in the New York Times. His commentaries are commentaries are so historically rich. You learn something from everyone about history and you can look it up,
Yeah.
Of course, Paul Krugman, when he used to write for the Times,
sure.
This guy's got a PhD and a Nobel Prize in economics, right?
So there were like facts.
So they're facts and inferences based on what people in a community of scholarship or community of expertise are thinking. This guy's just, it was like this when so-and-so was president, so we'll probably have that happen. It's like, based on what? No, that's not how you figure things out. It's like, you
know. Well, it's the classic, you know, starting with the conclusion and then working backwards. It's like, oh, Biden is bad. The inflation is terrible. How can I illustrate that? I know. I'll show a picture of a $78 hamburger.
Yeah,
it's like it's like
anecdote. The plural of anecdote is not data.
It's like sometimes you'll see pictures of ridiculous gas prices, either really high or really low. And, and then, you know, you get some context and you find out, you know, the reason the gas price was really high is that this is a place in an area with limited access to gas or it's, you know, right by the airport or something.
Sure,
and, you know, it's something where they know they can get a lot for it. And it's like gas really isn't $5 a gallon at the Quick Trip, but it might be at the Avis place where you have to fill up the gas tank.
Definitely it is there. Hey, you mentioned Gavin Newsom. He did something interesting on Monday. I don't know if you heard about this. He hired two former leaders of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention who were accused by the always crack team at the Trump administration of abandoning, quote, scientific standards. So one of these is a woman by the name of Susan Manarez, who was the former director of the CDC, and she was fired back in late August by Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. And the other is Dr. Deborah Hoory, who is a former chief medical officer at the CDC, who quit partly because of the firing of Dr. Manarez. So they're both now going to be working for the California Department of Public Health. So if you want expertise, I guess you got to go to the state level now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's really the lessons here, and things are being broken apart. So you're going to have states like Minnesota, California, Massachusetts, New York, who, you know, the whole West Coast, places that are actually going to care about things like reality and facts and science. And
I thought you were going to say health, but reality is much more comprehensive.
And then you're going to get the Confederacy that's going to, you know.
The Confederacy has risen, you know. So. I was looking at some stats. Oh, the stats that you sent me this week showing the different states and how they'd be affected by changes in the Affordable Care Act. And I was thinking, and I was so saddened because I was looking at Ohio and Indiana, because I was born in Ohio, even though, you know, I spent my middle school and high school years in Kentucky and college years. I was born in Ohio. And it's just like the creeping crackerization. Like Ohio used to be also just like a normal Midwestern state.
Right.
And now it's this flaming bright red of a hemorrhoid as West Virginia or Kentucky. And it's just like, oh, man, that's just so sad.
The president signed a marijuana executive order this week. And, of course, I don't think this has any... You know, and one of those things, too, where it doesn't really have a lot of value. But I mean, it's a step in the right direction. So, you know, I'll say good for him.
All right.
You know, kind of put it in a different schedule. But when after he'd signed the executive order for the marijuana, he fell asleep. Do not sample your own product. How many times I got to tell you?
High on his own supply.
And then here's some, speaking of expertise, this is from Dr. Oz.
Okay.
He's like, what, the number two guy in the CDC?
Yeah.
So he was talking about...
Yeah, he's really interested in number two.
Yeah. Well, he's interested in some other stuff in that area, too. He had a quote this week. They're just relentless. He says... the creation of a penis costs an average in America of $150,000 per child. Mm. If you add the testicles, that's extra.
The undercoating always is.
I always get them on the side.
Yeah, right. Here's the thing. How many obnoxious bros are getting penis injections to make their you-know-whats bigger?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if our defense secretary wasn't doing that. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, that's an industry.
Sure.
Cosmetic surgery on your penis.
Yeah.
I think we should be outlawing that if we're starting getting into people's private bits.
Sure.
I'm all for that. Yeah. They don't want to do that. Well, I can think of some other things.
What about Mar-a-Lago face? I mean, that's actually a term now.
It's Mar-a-Lago face.
Where you get like the lizard person look.
Oh, right? Yeah. Did you see that close-up? Was it Pam Bondi? They were showing this extreme close-up of her.
Yeah.
And you could see the little pinpricks that looked like lip injections.
Red, yeah, things. And then, you know, of course, there were a million stories, and they interviewed dermatologists saying, yeah, those were from lip injections.
Why do people want to do that? Yeah. It's inexplicable to me. But I'm weird, so.
Yeah, you are.
It's like, she looks fine.
So,
fine. Like, what do you need?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of like little slideshows around of, you know, before and after. Yeah, and the before always looks better.
Like, yeah, those giant lips thing. That's kind of like.
And then get the Joker face.
Yeah, you know, Joker face. You know. Resting Joker face. Yeah, that's right. That's another Trump cabinet meeting.
There's the penguin, and Two-Face, Clayface.
Oh, man.
So once again, Dr. Oz, the creation of a penis costs, on average in America, $150,000 per child. If you had testicles, that's extra.
Yeah.
So, just like if you're going up to the drive-up window or something.
The fact that they're obsessed with these things just really...
I know.
It's like, just... Why do you care? Why do you care?
It gets a reaction out
of
people.
It's
scary trans people.
It's serving the needs of the lowest level of their support, which are all these people who believe that anything that was past the Iron Age, we really can't do, you know? It's all there in the book. It was the Bronze or the Iron Age. I can't remember which one when they wrote that.
Fire ban.
Whenever they wrote that, that was the last word on everything humans can do. So, I mean, nature's kind of a bee if you think about it. I mean, I just found out this week that when you get into your 60s, that there's a sort of a jelly-like stuff in your eye that liquefies. It just does it. It's like nature's like, okay, you're done. You know, it's like, that's it.
TikTok.
It's kind of like, what? And if you're symptomatic, it turns out.
Still think you're 30?
Yeah. If you're symptomatic, you think you're getting like a retinal dislocation or something. You know, I mean, it's very intense. And so it's like, okay, so that's just another thing. Like, everybody's like, oh, you know, all part of God's great plan. I remember when. Poor companion had to have a bowel resection many years ago. It's about 15 years ago now. And that was what the doctor said. I said, well, will everything be all right now, doctor? And he said, better than it was before. And I got a great laugh out of him because I said, all part of God's great plan. Because apparently there's a tiny little choke point that between your large and your small intestine. It's just like the way it's just like the way John Nolan is right now. You know, it's basically like the John Nolan of digestion. Yeah. And it gets easily corroded and it gets
it's like a little crinkle, kinda like like the little.
It's the sigmoid colon.
It's like the...
It's crazy.
It's like the pipe under your sink. It has. It's got that little loop in it.
No, you're exactly right. That's why it's sigmoid, because it's like a sigma, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And so you look at that, it's like, oh, yeah, okay. Just because it's natural, I mean, this is the thing. Like, God laid it down that there's boys and girls and there's no difference between them. It's like, no, it's just all crazy. First of all, that's false.
We're just bags of meat.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like for the A, that's you know, here's the thing. Here's what I think about God. If there's a God out there, God has got other things to do. Like, God's done with that. You know what I mean? It's like I don't care what you guys...
I did that 6,000 years ago.
Yeah, I don't care what you guys are doing. You know, just sort it out.
Well,
sort it out.
Call it like the wind-up universe the clockwork universe where, like, God did it and then... Maybe he's like a freelancer.
He's got to keep his mind open for top-level executive things.
I got paid for that. I'm done with
that.
He's
counting black holes. He doesn't have time to worry about your genitals.
There's some overlap there. Oh. Well, here's the story. So there was this horrible shooting in Australia, the mass murder. Here's a headline. Australian Prime Minister announces largest gun buyback since the Howard era. So there were stories, headlines, the very next day about how Australia was going to do something about guns.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, my God, this is horrible. We don't want it to happen again. And, you know, I mean, there are a lot of different proposals and things. But you know, and I see they've got the gun buyback at least. But it doesn't happen here. We have that, and we shrug. We go, oh, well, what am I going to do about it? Nothing. It's the law of nature.
There's a society where social forces can actually trump, if you can use the word, the forces of
capitalism. I try not to say that word.
The forces of capitalism. I mean, the thing is, the gun industry in the United States is an incredibly powerful entity, and they buy everybody off. So what do you expect?
Yeah.
As long as we live in a society like that.
Right. Plus, it's one of the few things we export anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like you're making money off of this. So do you think anybody's going to do anything about it? No, it's just, you know, it's part of the price of doing business.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org. You could be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page. I'd suggest you get the WORT app. It works really well. And thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed, these shows are available. I just realized I forgot something here. These shows are available via pod through Spotify and Apple and all those other potty places. Potty.
You and your potty mouth.
So a special announcement for listeners that next week on Boxing Day,
yes,
I'm going to be filling in for the real Jaguar.
Yes.
After Arnold. Are you going to sit in?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be there for part of the time.
Okay,
you'll be
the wacky sidekick.
Yeah, I majored in that as an undergraduate. Wacky sidekick 101.
I'm thinking of doing like a 2.5-hour tribute to the vocal stylings of Yoko Ono.
She's an underrated artist. I'm going to stick up for Yoko.
Okay. Or maybe Lou Reed's Metal Machine Music for 2.5 hours. If you're familiar with
that one.
But
you got me.
That was one, if I have the story right, that he owed one more record to a record label that he hated.
Yeah.
And so he put out 45 minutes of just electronic static and feedback and noise.
Wow. Well, that'll be everybody's little Boxing Day present.
Or it's Boxing Day. We should just play music from boxers.
Yeah.
A lot of the boxers have had, musical careers.
Yeah.
Joe Frazier, I think, had put out some songs.
Wow.
So maybe we'll play some of those, too.
There you go.
So anyway, so join us after the show next week, and it'll be fun. I haven't done a music show in ages here.
So how many hours is that?
2.5 hours.
Wow. So you're going to be doing this and then 2.5 more hours.
Yeah.
You're going to be sweating like Jerry Lewis at the telethon by the end. Snapping at everybody and flop sweat everywhere. That's a long time, Mel.
I know.
Do you need any uppers?
I don't see what the president used through his speech the other night.
Yeah, right.
All right, we have to take a break. We're going to play some announcements, and then we're going to come back with...
some good news. We got some good news here.
And, yeah, we'll try to do some good news. And I've got ice cream with small stones recalled.
You didn't specify you didn't want stones. I'm sorry.
It comes with stones.
Yeah, right.
Testicles are extra.
Yeah. I don't want that ice cream, thank you.
It has more protein. There was a Simpsons, the lunch lady was serving some.
Oh, beef testicles.
More horse testicles.
Horse testicles, that was it. More testicles means more protein. Can't deny that.
And also, birds change their beaks during the COVID shutdown.
I love that. Yes, that's a great story. I'm glad you brought it in.
All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Grandmother, hit it there. You got it. Did it. Get it. Shop it now. Come on, get it done.
Is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street. specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
Get on the good foot. Woo! Take your business, sister. I'm your fella.
And we're back.
So a federal judge on Wednesday ruled that the Trump administration must allow members of Congress to make unannounced visits to immigration detention facilities. Currently, the rule is that they have to give 7 days' notice that they're going to go, or ICE won't let them in. But in a 73-page opinion, Judge Gia Cobb wrote that the new protocols introduced by ICE appear to violate federal law that prohibits the Department of Homeland Security from using funds appropriated by Congress to deny lawmakers physical access to their facilities. So that's a positive. Also, you probably saw that these two guys here in Wisconsin that were part of the scheme to overturn the 2020 election. That,
Cheesebro?
Yeah, no, this Cheesebro is not part of this. But it's these two other guys. What are their names? Troopas and Mike Roman. It's James Troopas and Mike Roman. They were accused of being an architect of a plan to deploy fake electors in numbers of states that that Trump lost. And the defendants face 11 forger-related charges in connection with drafting false elector certificates. And it could have, you know, could have they basically wanted to say that there was an alternate outcome, you know, because, of course, there was so much cheating going on.
Yeah.
There wasn't, and they didn't, and so this is one of several cases that they've challenged whether this should even be done. But according to Judge John Hyland of Dane County Circuit Court in Madison, he ruled on Monday this week that the signatures that defendants had sought to be presented to Congress constituted a representation that was not true at the time based on the record of litigation based upon the certification. So basically, it can go to trial. Now, that doesn't mean they're guilty of anything, but that does mean that it's worthy of being basically of being tried. So that's a positive at any rate. Also want to mention that just this week, the New Orleans Archdiocese is going to pay $230 million to hundreds of survivors of clergy sexual abuse in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And this follows years of negotiation. Just want to, for those of you who are keeping track at home, just want to let you know that just this last year, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles agreed to pay an additional $880 million to more than 1,000 victims of clergy sexual abuse dating back decades there. That brings the amount of money that the Archdiocese of Los Angeles has paid out to $1.5 billion.
Wow.
This is the last year. Some other ones, again, if you're keeping score, in 2022, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia paid more than $78 million to settle 438 claims of clergy sexual abuse. And, of course, some of these areas have actually, the diocese has gone bankrupt. For example, in Portland, Oregon, in Oakland, California, Portland, they paid out, what did they pay out? Something like $4 million. That's not as much as some of the other ones, but they paid out $56 million in Oakland, and the diocese actually went belly up as a result. So all over the country, this money is being paid out now as the church admits fault in mostly in hiding this, of course, and letting the clergy continue in their roles. So just remember, when we're talking about Jeffrey Epstein, there's a lot of other crap like that going on, too. So,
new study says eating high-fat cheese may lower dementia risk. So this was
so we should be sending cheese directly to the White House. Is that what you're saying?
couldn't hurt her. Because all he eats is McDonald's. So
that's the question. Does he have cheeseburgers?
That's not real cheese, though, is it?
That's a good question.
It's probably cheesy covering or something.
I got a advent calendar, and they have little chocolates, open the little window, and there's chocolate in there. But it actually says on the thing at the top, we didn't realize, is chocolatey treats.
Oh, no.
So I'm not really sure.
Like chalk?
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's like brown newspaper. it's compressed with sugar on it.
Save
or something.
That'll be valuable in about 2 years. Yeah. We're all living in refrigerator boxes.
I'm picking mine out. Refrigerator boxes, those are great, but I prefer the deep freezer boxes myself.
Oh, that's
like, those are the best.
You are smart. Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of the curve here.
Much more durable.
Yeah, yep.
That's why I order stuff from Amazon, just to get the big boxes. Yeah. Here, take the sofa back.
The Mellon Floyd fork. Yeah, right. You'll be lucky you got it, too.
Scientists examined the data from a long-running population study of Swedish residents. People who regularly reported eating high-fat cheese were less likely to develop dementia over the next two decades than people who didn't.
I don't know if that's a fair comparison, though, because people in Sweden live in a low-stress society that supports you socially, and there's probably other factors involved.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you're going to have to change about 18 different things about your life in the United States before cheese makes a difference.
Like move to Sweden.
Move to Sweden.
Why don't those people from Sweden and Norway move to America?
Oh, my God. Oh, when he said that, I'm like, because we're one of the asshole countries that you talk about. I'm sorry. I love our country. I don't mean to be that way, but I just there's so many things that need to be changed for the better, and we're going in exactly, not a surprise, opposite direction.
On a related note, Trump has announced his celebration of America's 250th birthday next year that he will host the Patriot Games. Now, stop me if this sounds familiar. Where one young man and one young woman from each state and territory will compete in a four-day athletic event.
What happens if they lose?
They get the cannon goes off and their picture shows up in the sky. The winner gets food.
Oh, well, all right. That's where we'll be in a year's time.
The Hunger Games under Trump.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Everything is either horrifying or just so ridiculous it makes you do this eye roll where your eyes just kind of pop right out of the side of your head.
My eye rolls are getting so bad you can actually hear them.
Yeah.
Very slurpy.
My eye roll muscles are getting pretty strong. Yeah.
And lift weight with my eyelids. Yeah.
Pick for South African ambassador actively favored apartheid.
Oh no. See, that's not funny.
I know.
Yeah. So what's this person's name?
Oh, I deleted it. It's a donor.
Oh.
Wanted man jumped into nativity scene and pretended to be a king to lose the police. Oh, that's pretty good. It was in Italy. They tried to trick officers into thinking he was part of the life-size nativity scene.
Excellent.
Good for him. That's good thinking. At least he didn't try to be baby Jesus. That would have
been
Speaking of the show we're going to do next week, the elongated show with this and then filling in for the Jaguar.
Yeah.
It's the birthday of one of my favorite people.
Okay.
Rosemary Woods. Nixon's secretary.
Was she born on Boxing Day?
She was born on Boxing Day.
So was my grandmother.
Oh, nice. So, yep. But I loved her saying she accidentally erased 17 and a half minutes in those tapes.
That's the kind of accidents we need.
And then the famous photo where she tried to recreate how she accidentally did. She had to stretch Armstrong to touch all the buttons and
she
pedals.
Was it was like aerial ballet.
See, I was accidentally like this, and then I reached across the room like this bumped this one, and then I accidentally pushed this button down.
Right.
For 17 and a half minutes.
Exactly. That's how we do it.
So anyway, so we'll look forward to the special tribute to Rosemary Woods next week. So
my grandmother said that her mother said that my grandmother was their little Boxing Day present.
Oh.
Because my grandmother was born in England.
Oh, nice.
So there was,
oh, very
that
nice.
That meant something there.
Iran did a little presentation of their advanced AI robots.
Okay.
And to show the world how...
Yeah, they're advanced.
They really can kill it with these
yeah.
robots.
They're nuclear powered.
And it turned out they were people in robot costumes.
Oh, that makes me sad. Poor Iran. Look, we got robots too.
Yeah. Go down to Times Square and get some of those actors that hang out in the
oh,
performers.
No.
So, yeah. Pop music has grown darker in the U.S. in the last 50 years. It's darker and more stressed, according to a study.
Mm.
Words related to stress, anxiety, and pressure increased 80% from 1973 to 2023, tracking rising depression and anxiety. Lyrics became more repetitive and less complex, tracking declines in education, test scores, and cognitive measures.
Mm. So last week, a listener, an alert listener, brought us a copy of something from a journal, a magazine from the mid-1950s, 1955, called Housekeeping Monthly. And this is a copy of the original publication that I have before me. And it's a little thing that's called The Good Wife's Guide. And lots of these things make sense. The good wife should always have dinner ready. I always do that at home. Prepare yourself. Be a little gay. I'd never go wrong with that. Clear away the clutter. Gather up school books, toys, and paper. Over the cooler months, you should prepare and light a fire. That makes sense. Prepare the children. If they're properly prepared, they're delicious. Be happy. But here's where it starts to get creepy. Those are just like things to do if you're the person who takes care of the house. But here it starts to get scary. So this is like, this is bullet point number 9 here. Be happy to see him. Okay, I'm not sure that's up
work.
To you. Yeah. Greet him with a warm smile and show sincerity. Listen to him. Okay, I think we all owe our spouses that. Make the evening his. Never complain if he comes home late or goes out to dinner or other places of entertainment without you. Instead,
he comes home smelling of perfume.
Try to understand his world of strain and pressure and his very real need to be at home and relax.
Yeah.
Don't greet him with problems and complaints. Don't complain if he is home late or stays out all night. All night?
All night?
Make him comfortable. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair or have him lie down in the bedroom. Have a cool or warm drink ready for him. Throw it right in his face.
Full of antifreeze.
Yeah. Arrange his pillow and take off his shoes.
Oh,
speak
God.
In a low, soothing voice. Don't ask him questions about his actions or question his judgment.
Lay down on all fours. Be a coffee table.
A good wife always knows her place.
Wow.
So people think we haven't made any progress. Well, we've made like 50% progress. Today she'd be getting injections in her giant lips.
Well, I remember when ages ago when I was a cub reporter like Jimmy Olsen, and our newspaper only with
all right, chief.
but our little local newspaper is a local daily, and we were still doing stories on the first woman. Whatever, the first woman
sure.
doctor in town,
yeah.
the first woman construction worker, the first
sure.
woman,
yeah.
you know, CEO and stuff like that. That was a story that a
yeah.
woman was yeah. a doctor.
I right, mean, so right. Yeah.
That was quite a while ago, but still. It was
first woman not to speak in a soothing tone.
It was Mankato. Nobody spoke in a soothing tone.
Good point.
Till meth hit the town, then.
This is
so,
really.
So there's this this company called Pantone. I've never heard of it.
Pantone, yeah, yeah.
Pantone.
Yep,
okay,
yep,
so
yep,
you know
yep,
a lot
yep,
of
yep. I do.
And they're like color experts.
They are.
And then every time this time of year, they announce the color of the year.
Yeah.
And they've announced that the color of the of 2020, well, color next year, the upcoming color.
Oh, okay.
2026, the color will be Cloud Dancer, which is an understated grayish white hue. So white.
Yeah. Yeah, I think during the Trump presidency, every year will be white. It'll be some shade of white. These people know how to, you know, kiss up. Come on. Off-white, eggshell white. Dove white.
Trump white.
Trump white, yeah. Yeah, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he said, oh, it looks like we're not going to have a white Christmas. I said, no, but we're going to have a white power Christmas. And then his response was, every Christmas is white power Christmas.
It's the white power hour.
Yeah, exactly.
So a lot of people are concerned about this this pending merger of Netflix and Warner Brothers.
Yes.
But, of course, there are conspiracy theories. And a lot of people on the internet are concerned that Obama is behind the merger.
Why would Obama be behind it?
Well, he's going to take this giant media conglomerate and turn it into, like, you know, some sort of PR thing that only that's going to praise the glory of Obama or something. Or
they've already got the something lefties. Like that for Trump, right? I mean,
they've got lots of things.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, it's like if he did it, I'd be more power to him. I mean,
but it's so funny because at this point, I don't think Obama. I mean, I think he's cares, but he's not in the arena.
He's retired.
He's retired. He's having.
He retired early.
Yeah, he did, and you know, good for him. I think every president should retire when they're done. Yeah, they should just, and they've all pretty much done. Most of them have done that. They do that or die.
Yeah,
and. You know,
he looked like he went through a haunted house. I mean, his hair is like, you can see his hair is so white you can see it from space.
I mean, know. He looks like he aged like, about 30 years.
Yeah, it's like, that. Leave that guy alone.
Yeah, because we want to vote for Michelle Obama. You know, but both of those, I mean, it's like, he has no interest in politics anymore. I mean, active interest. And right. Michelle Obama has no interest. She just wants nothing to do with, you know, people. But people on the right are like, oh, she's going to run, or he's going to, you know, be the power behind the throne.
The thing is, every single thing that they are going to do or want to do, they project onto somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, every single thing. They've spent years about, oh, the lefties are oppressing us, and we can't say what we want, which is saying the N-word 24/7, and all this stuff. And then the minute they get in power, they suppress everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they want.
You reposted a Charlie Kirk meme. You're going to jail.
But meanwhile, let's make fun of Rob Reiner, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we want to talk about that.
Yeah. So. Hey, the president of France is really happy right now. After more than a year, they finally...
he's married to a man?
Yeah. I'll tell you, everyone's doing it. It's his third prime minister now, this guy, Sébastien Lecornu, and he finally managed to get the lower house of their legislature, the National Assembly, to vote for the budget. So now France has a budget. They're excited. And this is all his own fault, because back in June of 24, he announced a snap election, and he thought that his supporters would do really well in the National Assembly, which is where, just like in many parliamentary, they have a mixed system, but they do have a parliamentary component to it, where basically your prime minister has to command a majority in the lower house. And his party, which is, it's an alliance of these various centrist parties, they lost big time, and the left wing and the right wing both picked up a lot. So they've got these like three opposing masses of delegates in the Assemblée Nationale, and they fight like crazy with each other, and they can't get anything done. So they finally have a budget after a year now, and the current premier is not really like resting on his laurels, because it's just for now. But yeah, the big thing right now is in France is not the genitals of the First Lady, but do we have a budget or not? And now they do.
All right.
Candace. So Candace Owens is being sued by the French president.
Is she?
Yeah, for defamation of character. And I saw her talking about this, and this woman is really far out there. But she was, by all people, is Piers Morgan. He's this conservative British commentator. And he was saying, you know, this is, you know, you're going to, this is going to blow up in your face. I mean, he was basically saying, because, you know, what's, we're going to find out this is false, you know, and she had three kids. Oh, they adopted them, you know. I mean, she's got an answer for everything.
Sure.
But it's the classic conspiracy approach, which is the so-called argument from ignorance. You say, I believe X, and you don't offer any evidence. And then everybody else says, well, no, that can't be because of this. And they're like, prove it. Like, they put the burden of proof on everybody else. And so she's she also thinks somehow that the French president is involved in Charlie Kirk's assassination.
Oh,
and Mossad is in there, of course, because she's a raving anti-Semite. And, you know, so it's like this is what passes for discourse in the 21st century.
But that's how you get clicks, and that's how you get eyeballs. And that's, I mean, and,
yeah,
that,
that's,
and that's what we've learned from, you know, just the short time of having something like social media. It's been about 10 years or so. And we've learned that there's truth has no value, that you know, content has no value, you know, real content, something like you were talking earlier about, you know, you read an article that's got some historical context,
right,
and some
ideas
and some facts.
Yeah.
That has no value, but being outrageous does it. It's all pro wrestling at this point.
I'm glad you agree with me on this, because I was thinking we need to reconfigure this program. Because given what you just said,
describe the last hour of broadcast.
I think we really need to.
No, what's sad is we're the voice of reason.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We got to go away from that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm going the opposite direction.
Oh, okay.
We need to reconfigure this program.
So,
we need to go for the voice of unreason.
Obama's a woman.
Yeah.
See, they'd say he's African or gay or something, but we'll push it even farther.
Yeah.
It's
a gay African woman.
Urban birds' beaks changed rapidly during the COVID-19 lockdowns.
Oh, yeah.
So what was happening is these birds, these are urban birds.
They're juncos.
They like junk food.
No, they're called they're juncos. That's the kind of bird.
Oh, I thought you were being derisive.
Slate-colored juncos, yeah.
Yeah, but they normally just kind of eat whatever's laying around, and when there's a lot of people around, there's always stuff that people are spilling.
Crap that's
edible.
That's why all these birds are hypoglycemic.
They're all on Ozempic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the dogs and the cats.
Yeah. Oh, dog Ozempic was sad. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So they're used to just kind of saying, oh, there's food laying on the ground here. I'll eat it. Or some popcorn or something. But with COVID, that disappeared. People weren't around. People weren't spilling food on the floor. They weren't throwing out as much stuff. So they had to adapt. And as the more generations were born, they've noticed that the beaks were getting longer because that made it easier to like dig for food and pry things open and you know, poke your
it wasn't just
beak
laying
in
there
the ground.
In
yeah,
you,
you had to work for it a little more.
Yeah, yeah.
But so even in that short amount of time, we saw a little evolutionary.
They became more virtuous.
Bump. Yeah. Or they just told a lot of lies.
So what you're saying is that even within a very short frame of time, an animal can transmute as a result of environmental factors.
Apparently.
Huh.
Never thought of that before.
Creation scientists, you're up next.
I mean, obviously, COVID was a horrible thing. But it was kind of fun to see the impact that the lack of humanity had on things. I mean, the air got cleaner.
Yeah.
Just lots of.
So the place where I work is right next to a lake. And when we were in lockdown, we were all working from home and stuff like that. I would show up sometimes, you know, just because I like my office.
Yeah.
And there was nobody there. And we started getting lots of turkeys, and we started getting lots of cranes, and they were just walking around, just doing their thing. And the turkeys have never left, and the cranes you still see every now and then. So they just kind of moved into that area now in the area, and they're still there now.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Those are both birds that have become more urban.
Yeah.
And they're so used to having people around. The cranes, they don't even. Doesn't bother them at all.
You saw that photo of the turkey passed out in the liquor store, right?
A wild turkey?
Next to the wild turkey, exactly.
Let's see.
Oh, it looks like we're coming up on the end.
Oh, we got to get out of here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Time to declare the weekend. Enjoy the weekend. I think it's going to warm up a little.
Yeah.
So
they did cancel the high a couple times this week.
Yeah, not that now that marijuana's rescheduled.
So next week is the Mel and Floyd Rock Pile, right?
Yeah, Mel and Floyd Rock Pile. We'll be doing this show and then 2.5 hours of the Real Jaguars, you know, subbing for him. So that'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
Yep, but, that'll be great.
All right.
No. It's not the weekend.
It's not?
No, but
we got the same shirt.
We're just wearing the same hoodie.
We got the same hoodie. Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Oh,
we're wearing
this. Oh, my goodness. You can go over.
We can go over.
No, I'm sorry. We have to.
You're going
to
be doing it next week.
I haven't taken my medication. We got to stop on the dot.
I'm so honored and thrilled that you guys are.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
We'll be hosting Who Cooks for You next week.
Yeah, it'll be a blast.
Yeah, yeah. And it is 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
We figured that out. As I said, he's going to be like Jerry Lewis in the old telethons.
Yeah.
Flop sweat everywhere.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Happy holidays, everybody.
Thanks. Hey, it's 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison. Stick around. The kiosk is next. And as you probably guessed, after that, Who Cooks For You with Real Jaguar. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, December 19th.
This is Bird Note. In December 2015, artist Jane Kim completed a massive painting about the wonders of birds.
So the Wall of Birds is an interior mural located at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's Visitor Center. And this mural is meant to celebrate the evolution and diversity of birds.
It depicts nearly 250 life-size birds and several of their ancient predecessors, on a map of the world where each lives. Jane worked closely with the Cornell Lab to ensure that each portrait is scientifically accurate.
And so some of the birds I definitely have in their calling posture because I think that bird is so known for their calls. Like the three-wattled bellbird is like an